This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jasandu, together with
Frida Liu.
And today we're asking you, what is stopping you from becoming an entrepreneur? You've got 12 minutes left on our Twitter poll. It's at BFM Radio, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 01878988899. Let's move on to our final story of the day, Arv.
Yeah, it's not a good story, not a good story to end on, but Grab said yesterday, or announced yesterday, that it would lay off more than 300 employees due to the impact of COVID-19. Grab is Southeast Asia's most valuable startup with a valuation of $14 billion. Mm. They informed staff of the cuts at a town hall meeting. Its CEO, Anthony Tan, told staff that the loss-making company would cut 5% of its headcount, or just under 5% of its headcount, or about 360 employees. The company had earlier asked employees to take like voluntary unpaid leave, and then yesterday they announced this big move. So Grab would be sunsetting non-core projects, consolidating teams, and pivoting to focus on deliveries, a spokeswoman said. It also currently has $3 billion in reserves, according to a source with knowledge of the matter. And this part is interesting because it says that the layoffs are the latest restructuring at a SoftBank Group Corp portfolio company. So the company, Grab, has been in growth mode for so many years in many verticals, and it is necessary for it to make adjustments to be more focused. That is according to its higher up. So the impact in Southeast Asia has been severe, with 11 drivers for Grab and rival Gojek telling Reuters last week that they had income slashed by more than half during the outbreak. So it basically also says that an increase in food deliveries has come nowhere near compensating for the losses in transport. So it's weird, right? Because you would think that, you know, because there are so many food deliveries, like everything is closed and everyone is like using either Grab or some food delivery service, that they would be making profit or they wouldn't have to make this move. Mm. But according to Reuters, it's not. It's still nowhere close to, you know, keeping them safe. Mm.
Right. Especially when you see a company like Grab, which has, you know, the power, the likes of, you know, SoftBank, who's, you know, backing them up for many years now. And, you know, a company that's valued at $14 billion. US dollars. That's billion with the B, right? So, you know, and yet, you know, for them to, in a way, I guess it's, you know, one, it's COVID-19, but two, like, you know, what Arvin was saying, right, in the article, it mentioned that needs to, in a point of time, to restructure and sort of, you know, consolidate some of the things and be more focused. And I guess, you know, now it's probably, you know, one of the, I guess, you know, right time for it to do so.
It's got me thinking, right? Mm. It's got me thinking, why do we, have they completely closed these areas for them to, you know, cut away these jobs, right? Why didn't they go with the pay cut strategy so that you're still keeping employees? And then when things improve, so, you know, the question is, was it a non-performing unit? Was it something that was not necessary? And it took this for you to realize that it's not necessary.
So in the way they claim it as the sunset sectors, within the sunset verticals, within Grab itself, right? So with that means it's just the non-performing or just the ones, projects, I guess, that, you know, never really took off. And, you know, we understand that, you know, Grab has like a huge R&D facility in Singapore as well, right? So it could be some of these little projects here and there that maybe had some, you know, expansion plans that just don't make sense, you know, in the year 2020. We've spoken to a lot of businesses who had aggressive plans to expand and scale, you know, beyond the region.
2020 was the year.
Now, you know, you're just like, you know, I just want to take care of my backyard, right? So, you know, I don't even want to go out of my house. So, you know, let's not talk about scaling up. So I guess in a way, it really just, you know, reminds us of that COVID-19 is really, you know, will affect everyone and anyone, no matter what sector you are, and no matter, you know, how much of reserves you have in the bank.
But, you know, there's also, like, on a more, like, personal note, on the more that human side of the company, you see CEO Anthony Tan's note that he put up on the Grab website. That was heartbreaking to read. Yeah. Like, if you just go through it, you know, the kind of measures they had to take and the people they had to lay off, like, just looking at the human component, it's sad. It's sad that it had to come to this, even for a company as big as Grab and as successful as Grab.
Because, you know, they're a huge company, right? Because it's just under 5%. That's 360 employees. So, you know, that is a huge number of employees. That's like nearly about 8,000 or so employees, if you know. And that, for me, to see the CEO sending out a note like that, and, you know, and the way I read it, you know, you also feel like, wow, like, you know, you're such a big company in multiple different regions. But that note was very personal.
And that scares me about entrepreneurship, okay? That, for me, if you ask me about having staff, right? First of all, staff, they will give you headaches, right? But secondly, also, like in this case, it's 300 families.
Yeah.
If you were to humanize it, it's painful. You know, it is painful. I'm sure it's not a difficult, it's not an easy decision for him.
You know, but the email and the note that Anthony Tan sent out, that you know, really kind of like, you know, it's a good example of like, you know, we've spoken to him earlier on during the My Taxi days. You know, and
way back when?
Way back, you know, I think, you know, when they were not Grab, they were My Taxi, right? And to see that, you know, he still carries on that spirit of entrepreneurship, right? Despite having now to lead a company of like, you know, 8,000 over.
I think they're only a 7-year-old company.
But yeah, you know, get in touch with, well, thanks for getting in touch with us for all the Twitter polls and the comments. Just to wrap up some of the numbers, it didn't really move. So I think, you know, about 66% of them are still having a reason into why they're not stepping into entrepreneurship. You know, 33% saying lack of funding, which shouldn't really be the case. But the other 33% are saying that it is too unstable. Too risky.
Right. Just one comment here from Eugene Seng, who says, hi, I'm back. Anyway, I think most people will find financial burden the top problem. Is also idea block, lack of experience, or just insecurities. But I do believe in the saying that when there is a will, there is a way.
Yeah, that's the entrepreneurship spirit. Thank you all so much for the feedback, the comments, the Twitter polls.
Our second story was about how we will be living, working and playing in the future, according to Fast Company.
And then we finished with, we talked about Grab and how they're feeling the pressure of the pandemic and they're letting go of 5% of their staff.
Coming up later at 1 p.m. is the Breakfast Grill replay. We speak to Dato' Norman Abdul Halim, the Deputy Chairman of FINAS, and Izan Satrina, the CEO of Chandana, about you know, their views on the state of the industry, the film industry, and what's next. That's coming up on the 1 o'clock Breakfast Grill replay. If you miss any parts of this conversation or this show, you can download the BFM podcast, available on the BFM website or the BFM app. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Arvind Yuvaraj and Frida Liu. Until tomorrow, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.